Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay, let me try that again. Good morning, New Hope family. Are you guys ready to get back in the book of James?
Yes.
Yep. We'll see. We will see. It was funny because I've been in Sacramento pretty much most of the week from last Sunday right after church. I had to go get on a plane and go to Sacramento and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there and at the evenings. This was for our Assemblies of God District Council. This is where all of us pastors come together. They cast vision. We do a lot of cool stuff. We get poured into. And I'm sitting there in the evening time and I've got my tablet out and I'm working on my sermon. And I've got five verses that I want to try to get through. Because you're all getting really tired with James, right? Good answer. Good answer. Nope. And so I'm sitting there and I've got my outline done. I'm like, okay, I think this is where we want to go. And then I get back home on Wednesday evening afternoon. And I come in to the church Thursday early in the morning. I'm like, I really got to get my sermon done. It's Wednesday and all I got was my outline done. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I cannot pass these next two scriptures up. I had five, I brought it down to two. Because these two scriptures have such impact, not just in our lives, my life, your life, in your friendships. They have impact in your families. They actually have impact in your workplace, impact in your church. Churches are destroyed sometimes because of this kind of behavior. And God has a lot to say about it. Matter of fact, this will be the fourth verse that we read through the book of James that talks about this topic. Speaking the truth in love. I dumbed it down a little bit. We're going to speak love. Before it was guard your tongue. Now it's let's speak love. Matter of fact, there's still one more verse that James is going to bring up in chapter 5 that talks about how we talk. So let me open with prayer. Would you guys shut your eyes with me? Lord, I need you. I personally need you right now. Not just a little bit. Not just your help. I need your words this morning as we talk about this hard subject that is so important to you. Father, these aren't my people in this room. These are your people. Speak through me. Change hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. That's how serious this is. I'm praying for myself this time. Get this. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to talk about people? Yeah, everybody's shaking their head. Sometimes, you know, I love it because sometimes somebody will bother you to the point, and what is our immediate response is they're talking, you know, they frustrate me, and the first thing I do is I call my friend. You know what she said, or you know what he did. You're all guilty. It's okay. We're in church. We've all done it. You wouldn't believe what she said or what he did. We call our closest friend and say these things. But when was the last time you remember somebody talking about you and you found out? How did it make you feel? Not so good, huh? I got to say, I was sharing with the team this morning before you guys got here, praying over you and all that. And I was in Sacramento. It was on Monday, and service didn't start till 10 o'clock. And it was, you know, I kind of missed the green being from Illinois, and they got trees and grass. I was like, the air smells different. And I went and walked down the block and went to Starbucks. Sat down. I hardly ever go to Starbucks and get coffee, but I had time to waste, right? So I walk in there, get my cappuccino, extra sugar. No. She's shaking her head. And I sit down, and there's about two seats over from me, there's these two ladies, and they're just talking. And they're talking about somebody. And it was their friend. Like, I could hear them, like, plain as day. And they're talking about, like, did you hear what she did? Or did you see how she raises her family? Or do you see how she treats her husband? And I was just like, man, these ladies are going at it. But then it floored me. Something upset me really bad. And they go, if she would just read her Bible a little bit more, she might not act like that. And I'm stirring in my heart. I'm like, man, I need to go. I'm a pastor. I need to go say something about this right now. Like, you're talking about Scripture. You're using God's Word and telling that she needs more of that, but you're sitting there talking about her behind her back. And I know this is bad because James is working in me too, right? And I'm just like, man, I really wanted to go say something, but I didn't. Imagine if it wasn't me sitting there and it was a person that was not a Christian. What would that say about those people who claim to be Christian and then sitting there listening to people talk about their sister in Christ? If I was an unbeliever, I'd be like, why would I want to be a part of that? True? So here's what it is. The book of James hits us again with a reality check about the words that we use. In other words, we better start listening because it's important. This is the fourth time he's brought it up. The book of James isn't very long, actually. I make it really long. But it's really not that long. So let's dive in. Chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Just two chapters or two verses. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Remember, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment of it. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Like I said, I started to unpack these two verses and found that when we speak against our brothers and sisters, when we judge them, when we're not just being not nice or unkind to them, we're actually positioning ourselves above God and His law. We're setting ourselves above Him. His law, it says it right there. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister then speaks against the law and judges it. So today I want to explore what it means to truly speak truth in love and why our words about others matter so much to God. So the first one, the destruction power of our words. So let's jump. We're going to have to jump back a little bit. James doesn't mince words. Back in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we talked about this already. The tongue is a small piece or a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. Words have incredible power. Again, in Genesis, God spoke and the universe came into existence. And He said what? It is good. It is good. Words can create, but they can also destroy. Imagine for a moment that you had a device you were carrying around and it was going to record every single thing that you said. Would it have more building up or would it have more tearing down? What would your ratio look like if it recorded everything that you said for one whole week? Back all the way back at James 1:26, it says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Worthless, he says. That is a strong word. James is saying that we can go into our churches, read our Bibles, pray regularly, but if we're not controlling our tongue, especially in how we speak about others, our religion is worthless. It's no good. This should alarm us. Because I think many of us, we've created a version of Christianity that we can come and worship Jesus on Sunday, and then we can tear people down on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because if they don't fit into the, how I want them to fit into my life. Sometimes we think it's even okay. Judging others means judging God's law. So let's get into this. Let's unpack this verse here. In James 11, it says, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them, speaks against the law and judges it." First, we have to ask ourselves, what is this law that James is talking about? This is where it opened a whole can of worms for me. This is when I was like, okay, we got to get rid of everything else and just stick to these two. And it got me in on a deep dive. What is this law that he is referring to? It is the law of God's love. Think about it. The royal law is mentioned in James 2:8. He's already mentioned what this law is. It says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the royal law that James is talking about. It's profound. When we speak against someone else, we're not just judging that person and what they're doing. We're actually judging God's law of love itself. And we're saying, I don't need to follow the law in this situation. That person doesn't deserve my love. Huh, think about it this way. It'd be like me driving down the interstate going 90 miles an hour, getting pulled over, and then the cop looking at me goes, you know the speed limit's 65 miles an hour? I go, well, that's okay. That law doesn't affect me. That's what it's like. What am I doing if I say that statement? I'm judging a law. I'm setting myself above the law. When we don't love other people, we're setting ourselves above God's law. It's exactly what we do when we slander other people. We're saying God's command to love our neighbor doesn't apply here. We have elevated ourselves above God's law. James is crystal clear on this. There is only one lawgiver and judge. It's not you. It's not me. He's saying, who are you to judge these people? In verse 12, it says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge your neighbor? This question should stop us immediately. Who are you to judge anybody? The question should stop us and recalibrate what we think. Who am I? Who am I to judge anybody? I'm messed up. How can I judge anybody else? I have blind spots in my life that I can't even see. How can I judge anybody else when I can't even see my own behavior? Let me say it. I wrote it down like this. Who am I? I'm someone who's messed up constantly. I'm someone who has blind spots that I can't even see. I am somebody who knows only a fraction of another person's story, their struggles, and their wounds. I don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole story. I love what Jesus says about this whole thing. In Matthew 7:3-5, it says, why, me and my wife used to play this joke all the time. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? It says, you hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Yeah, we used to joke with that one. Can you imagine? She'd tell me to do something. I'd be like, take the speck out of your own eye. The truth is, I'm not qualified to be someone else's judge. Thank God for that. I don't want to be judge. I don't want to be God. Only God sees the entire picture of a certain individual's life. Only God knows their heart. And only God is without sin. James reminds us that God is the one who is able to save and destroy. This is a sobering reminder that God's ultimate authority and our complete lack of it, our complete lack of authority in somebody else's life. Can I be truly honest with y'all? I've said this before. Maybe not here, but I've said it in recovery atmospheres and these things, because people walk through the door with shame and guilt and all these things, and what they do, they elevate their pride for a reason. I says, I think the reason that we judge others so harshly is that it makes us feel better about ourselves. When we can look at somebody else and their sin, then we don't have to evaluate our own sin. When I point out your flaws, I momentarily feel superior over you. I feel righteous by comparison when I look at you and don't look at myself. Remember what Jesus said? Take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll be wise enough to remove the speck out of your brother's. When I don't have to focus on my issues and I can focus on yours, that is called self-righteousness. God does not have any tolerance for self-righteousness. It is a toxic behavior. So what do we need to do? We need to speak the truth in love, right? Let's get to that part. That's the part we want to hear. Now, I know that some of you might be thinking, but wait, aren't we supposed to hold each other accountable when people are doing things? Yes. But I need you to know something. This comes with a heart of humility and wisdom. Because when you think that you're speaking and holding somebody accountable to their actions, you need to realize, like, wait a minute, am I doing this with the right heart? Am I going to say it and it's actually going to cause more damage than good? Am I actually going to get in the way of the Holy Spirit working through somebody's life? So there's a lot of wisdom that needs to happen. Aren't we supposed to hold people accountable? If someone is sinning, shouldn't we say something? I say yes. But we got to have that wisdom. Ephesians 4:15, Paul tells us to speak the truth in love. We are called to speak truth. Not your truth. That's where we get that messed up. Not your truth, but God's truth. But we're called to do this in love. There is a world of difference when speaking against somebody in truth and love and with wisdom. Let me give you an example. I had a couple back home that were living together. They just came to church. They gave their life to Jesus, and they were living together. And people were telling me, Pastor, you know, they're living together. Shouldn't you say something? Said, I'm not saying anything, because they are moving towards God. Does that make sense? If I would have stepped in and said, hey, you guys shouldn't be living together, they might have ran away from the church, because that's what they hear is rules and laws and self-righteousness, and I need to tell them and hold them accountable because this is God's, but God's law is love before anything. God is love. So let me. This is wisdom. They were growing, they were living together, but they gave their life to Jesus, and I got to baptize both of them, and then they got into their groups, and they did all these things, and they were moving, and I didn't have to do anything. They heard through testimony and through Bible studies and all these things what God was doing, and guess what? Just about a month and a half ago, they got married. If I would have done anything and stepped into that, that might have pushed them away from God. So it takes wisdom in these things. Now let me flip the script here. If I've got two people who've been coming to church for years and years and years, have given their life to Jesus, and now they're living together with the not married, then we're going to talk about that. Because that's going away from God's law, away from God's grace, doing what you know you're not supposed to do. But when you have a new person giving their life to Jesus, they don't understand all of these things. But they're moving. Holy Spirit is moving them into a place. That's speaking truth in love. That's having wisdom when you speak about things. Does that make sense? We need to take our self-righteousness and set that stuff aside, because it's, we got nothing on God's righteousness ever. Speaking against someone happens behind their back. It's characterized by condemnation, not restoration. It assumes the worst about their motives. It tears down rather than builds up. Speaking the truth in love happens face to face. It's characterized by gentleness and restoration. It assumes the best about their motives. I love that. It's building up rather than tearing down. Galatians 6:1, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently, but watch yourselves, or you might fall into temptation." Think about that. I just gave you a scenario. If I would have went into those people, I would have used my self-righteousness to make them and coerce them to get married out of guilt. And by doing that, that leads me into self-righteousness and pride, which becomes a sin for me for doing that. That's a lot, huh? Or you might fall into temptation too. That's more of a message for all of us fixers out there. Notice the emphasis is on restoration, not condemnation. Notice the call to gentleness, not harshness. Notice the warning about your own vulnerability to temptation. This is a radical different approach than what we practice on a day-to-day. This is completely different than what we practice. Earlier in James, in chapter 1:19, he says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." When was the last time you were slow to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry when dealing with somebody who frustrates you? I'm not preaching at you, because I'm preaching to me too. This is an area where I fall regularly. Don't worry, I'll confess for you all. I fail at this regularly. I'm so quick to speak. I'm so quick to fix things. I'm so fast to jump to a conclusion before I've heard the whole story. And I'm so slow to really listen and understand. That is where I fail. Forgive me. So we talked about last week, humility. There is a way to humility once we set the pride down. Last week we talked about the ladder and the pride, and as we climb that ladder, your pride, but God is calling you to humility, the little bowl, the washing of the feet, and all those things that God really wants out of us. So you got to understand that what James had said last week in James 4:6-10, he's tying this in with the way we talk about each other, okay? It says, "God oppresses the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Do you see the connection from that week to this week? Pride leads us to judge other people. It's our pride that causes us to talk about others. Humility leads us to recognize our own brokenness, to approach others with gentleness and grace. Pride says, "I'm better than you." Humility says, we both need grace. Pride focuses on sin. Humility focuses us to focus on our own sin, not everybody else's sins. Pride speaks up about people. Humility speaks to people. Think about it. I know most people don't like conflict. But God's word says if you have an offense against somebody, you go to that person. And you make things right. How many people do that? Because it's hard. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." True wisdom is marked by humility, and humility changes how we speak about others and to others. Who wants to know how to fin this off? This is the application part. Ready? Application. I can't give you application until you know what God thinks about it first. Practical steps for speaking truth in love. Again, the Bible has 30 to 40 references about gossip, slander, and evil speech. We need to first understand what God thinks about it, about slander and gossip, before we can figure out how to protect ourselves from doing it. So let's see what God's Word says. I had so many verses and I had to like narrow it down. This would have been like a 2-hour sermon. God hates it and he lists it among serious sins. In Proverbs 6:16-19, God lists a lying tongue or one who sows discord among brothers. He calls this among the 7 things that he hates. Second one, it destroys relationships and communities. We talked about that at the very beginning. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." How many people have been affected by gossip in here? Just making sure I'm talking to the right people, as always. If you didn't raise your hand, you might be the person who does that. It's serious. This isn't like, I know I'm making a joke of it, but this is serious. This destroys things. Here's the one that it gets me the most. The third one is it reveals a heart issue. There's something wrong right here. Matthew 12:34-35, it says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." James 3:9-10, we've talked about this, the tongue. "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings." We talked about God creating everything, and he said it was. Who are we to talk bad about what God has created? And that is you. And you are perfect and wonderfully made. For it contradicts love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 describes love as not dishonoring others. Ephesians 4:29, told this to you guys 100 times probably, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only what is helpful for building others up." God will judge those who slander and gossip. God will judge you for these things. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Psalms 101:5 says, "Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence." Hear that? Slander. Matthew 12:36, "But I tell you," this is Jesus now, "I tell you that everyone who will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." Red print. It's a sign of a spiritual immaturity. 1 Peter 2:1 instructs believers to rid yourself of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. I've only got like 4 verses into this. There's 40 scriptures that talk about this. Titus 3:2 calls Christians to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate. Okay, so now how do we put this into practice? You got to understand what God thinks about it first, right? You understand this isn't a joke to God. This isn't just like when we do this, we break the law of love. How do we become people who speak the truth in love rather than judging and slandering others? First one, examine your heart before you speak. With the mouth speaks the heart is full of. We said that. Before you speak about someone, ask yourself, what really is motivating me here that I need to go speak to this person? If it is love and concern for that person, or is it frustration, bitterness, desire to make myself look better? Check your heart. Second one, speak to, not about. Make it a rule in your life, if you have a concern about someone, speak directly to them. Not about them to others. We're going to talk about this in a few more weeks. James 5:16 tells us to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. That involves what? Direct, honest communication. Ask yourself, would I say this if the person were in the room right now? That's your number one go-to right there. Would I talk about this person, what I'm saying, if they were in the room here right now? Would I do it? If the answer is no, don't do it. Replace criticism with prayer. How many times we get frustrated with somebody and go and want to tell everybody when actually we need to get on our knees and be praying for that person? When you're tempted to criticize someone, pray for them instead. It's hard to stay angry at someone you are earnestly praying for. And remember, your own failures before you look at somebody else's. Keep in mind that your own areas of struggle and the grace that you need through your struggles, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Okay. That's a lot. It's a lot. But why is it so important? Because this behavior has ripped churches apart. It has ripped families apart. It has ripped marriages apart. It has ripped lives apart. Gossip. Nobody in this room can stand here and say, Pastor Jeremy, I like when people gossip about me. Doesn't happen. I know in my own life I've had to learn these lessons the hard way. I've had to learn these things too. BC, before Christ, I was the king of gossip. Why? Because I wanted nobody to look at me and I wanted them to look at the people around me. I didn't want any eyes focused on me. I remember I was working with another church leader. And man, he frustrated me sometimes. And I'm talking a brother in Christ. I'm talking about in the church. And I'm just thought, like, man, he's making some really bad decisions. Like, I don't know, why is he doing that? And I found myself being frustrated because it kind of affected some of my area of ministry. And I found myself criticizing him, or this person. We'll say this person. And God really convicted me. I mean, deeply. And I realized I was not criticizing him. I was slandering a brother in Christ. I was speaking against him. I was setting myself up as judge against him. I had to get on my knees. I had to repent. I had to ask for God for forgiveness, and I had to ask for forgiveness from this person who didn't even know that I was mad at him. You get that? Think about that. I had to go to him and ask for forgiveness, and he didn't even know that I was frustrated with him. So I had to do the hard thing. I went to him and I said, hey, you know, this is what I've done. I apologize, no excuses. I hope that you can forgive me. And we had a deep conversation, and I realized that there were things going on in his life that I knew nothing about. I didn't even know what he was going through, and he was going through some really tough stuff that I didn't know about because he didn't open up to me about it. Now, did I agree with all of his decisions and all of the things that he was doing? No, I didn't have to agree with the things that he was doing, but it opened my eyes in humility to be able to be praying for him instead of criticizing him. And God did a work in my heart in that. But if I would have kept this stuff into myself and never went to him and talked about it, where would the growth have been? Again, I didn't agree with all of his decisions, but I gained more respect for him. I prayed for him more often, and I was there more of a servant to help him in situations instead of disagreeing with everything that he wanted to do. And because of that, our relationship blossomed, and it grew. We were already friends, but, you know, I'm human. So, my brothers and my sisters in this building today, words matter. They matter to the people we speak about. They matter to the health of our community and your family and your church. And they matter deeply to God. The words that we speak about others reveal the condition of our hearts. They reveal whether we're operating out of pride or humility. And I love that because of what we did last week. Man, we need to be on this side of humility. We need to be washing our feet of our brothers and sisters. We need to be in service to them, not try to be above them. James poses a piercing question to us today. Who are you to judge your neighbor? The answer should drive us to our knees in humility. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. There is only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. But we are called to be truth speakers and love givers. We're called to be people who build up and restore and speak life and honesty, but always in love. Always in love. If you can't say something nice, hard, isn't it? I want to end with a challenge here this week. Pay attention. This week, just start small. Take a little bite of this and just practice this week. Let these things ruminate in your mind. Let them be constant, like, okay, wait a minute. That guy driving like a maniac and he might even gave me the bird. I'm going to pray for that man. I'm not going to speak out against him. I'm going to pray for him. That could be your first test. Man, I'm telling you, the people driving between here and Vegas they drive like maniacs. I get flipped off because I don't speed. So they're really mad at me because I'm going like 75 and they're going 90 and then it's semi, you know how it goes. I'm doing the speed limit, guys. I ain't breaking the law. I like my license. I've lost my license. I've lost them, and I had to get them back and earn them back. And I didn't even want them back, honestly, because of the harm that I've caused in somebody's life and a family's life. So anyway, this week, pay attention to how you speak to others when they're not present. Notice what comes to your mouth. Imagine you got that little device recording every word that you say. Notice what comes out of your heart when you say these things. And when you catch yourself speaking against somebody, stop, repent, choose a different path. stop. Just wait a minute. I need to stop talking about that person. For one, they're not here. And if they are here and you are speaking good, let me take it one step further. Tell them that they're doing good. You can praise somebody and never actually give honor where honor's due. Like we did with the kids here. I could have easily gave the boys their Bibles and sent them on their way. But man, we got the student ministry working with that. We got parents working with them. Give honor where honor is due and speak it so people can hear it. That's speaking in love. If you got something good to say to somebody, call them on the phone. Send them a text. You don't know what their day is like. And if you're about to say something bad, stop. Repent. And this isn't easy. It goes against our nature, our desire, our nature, that it's all about me. It goes against us. It requires a supernatural power beyond ourselves in order to do this, because God hasn't left us to do this on our own. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and our tongues. He gives us the power. Let me be completely honest with you. Everything that I've talked about today is hard stuff. It's hard preaching it. I say it all the time. I want to preach the good stuff, not the hard stuff. But the hard stuff is what's going to bring us to our knees so that transformation can happen. Everything I've talked about today, controlling our tongues and speaking truth and love, is impossible without Jesus in you. It's impossible. You can try on your own willpower to say things and be nice, but again, it's never the true love that comes from the Father. It's impossible without Christ in you. Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All people. Our slander, our harsh judgments, are symptoms of something deeper inside of us. And guess what that deeper something is? It's sin. It's sin. And the only solution is Jesus. So you can try to keep being good on your own willpower all you want. And you can keep failing too. You keep hurting people with your words. But guess what? Jesus died. Not just to forgive your sins, but to transform our hearts. He wants to give us a new heart that loves instead of judges, that speaks life instead of death. We need to put that on our wall in here. Speak life. That's a good slogan. Speak life over people. They don't have to go very far in the world to be tore down and ripped apart and say they're not doing things right and be judged. Maybe because they don't have the best job. Maybe because their lifestyle as a kid was bad and they had to quit school to make a living, to help raise their family and do all these things. We made decisions people speak down to. Those are the people we need to be speaking life into. Maybe you didn't have all those things. You have been blessed by God, then bless somebody else. I'm inviting you today to give your life to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye shut. Let's just be calm for a minute. I'm inviting you to give your life to Jesus, because we can't move past this without the love of Christ in us. We need His power, not our power. We need to let Him change us from the inside out. And this can only, the only way to do this, that we, the only way we can truly love others as God has called us to, is by Him placing His characteristics, his spirit in us, that is compassion and love and life-giving and transformative. If you never have given your life to Jesus in this room, never given your life to Jesus, that's who I'm talking to first. Every head's bowed, every eye's shut, nobody's looking. I'm looking. That's it. Just I want to see who you are. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Every week we have somebody giving their life to Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. If you're a believer here today, which most of you are now, who have been speaking against others, and then I'm not talking like you're the world's worst gossiper. Don't think that. But if you've caught yourself not speaking life into somebody, don't worry, I'm not going to have you raise your hands. This is your time to repent, though. This is your time to turn your heart. This is your time to receive grace. This is your moment to say, God, now that I know this truth, I want to turn from this. I want to be a life giver, not a life destroyer with my words. I want to give grace, not take it. So let's ask God to save us and transform us in our hearts and our tongues through the power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we can't love others as you called us to on our own strength. We need Jesus. For those who haven't given their life to you, I pray today would be the day of their salvation through repentance and through turning around and falling into your grace. I believe that you sent Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And I ask that you forgive me of my sins and give me this new heart. I ask that you would put your spirit inside of me to guide me away from rebellion and into your grace. In Jesus' name. And for the believers here today, I'm living in a pattern of judgment and pointing fingers and saying things that don't glorify your creation, the people that you love unconditionally. I also pray for their repentance. I pray for transformed hearts, hearts that are tender. And Lord, make us the people who speak life, not death. We surrender our lives to you today. Save us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Okay, can we breathe now? Man, that was a tough one. That's a tough one. If you're new with us, welcome to New Hope. Welcome to New Hope. There's a card in the seat back cushion in front of you. Fill that thing out. I love to connect with you. We want to get you plugged in. We want to help you. So do that. I'm going to remind. My wife's trying to remind me of something. Small group tomorrow. Come. Hang out. I'm going to be there. Wife's going to be there. Our team's going to be there. Come hang out with us tomorrow night. On a new Bible study, support our new leaders that are going to be leading that. And also, I need to ask for one extra thing. I know I'm trying to close this, guys. I got so much stuff that I need to remind you of. It was a couple months ago that we had our kids ministry, and there's some faithful family members in our church who were able to sponsor 3 kids to our youth ministry, our youth camp that's coming up. Out of the 8 kids, 3 of them have been sponsored all the way through. And so I'm going to ask if you can, above and beyond your normal giving in the church, but we still need a little bit more money to send them, to get them there, all 8 kids, for the gas, for some food. They're going to be taken care of when they're there. Everything there is taken care of. It's just getting them from here to Prescott and back. Does that make sense? So if you want to help our student ministry, this is their first camp too. And we're talking a couple $1,000 have been covered by members in our church. And we're just looking for a little bit more to help pay for the offset, the cost of getting them there and getting them back. If that's you, if you feel God tugging you to do that, please fill it out on the envelope, turn it in to Vinette or myself, and we'll get it to the right hands, to the youth ministry. And that's really, if you can't, if not, don't worry, our church is going to take care of it. The kids are going to camp regardless. But I never want to take something away from somebody who wants to be a part of what God is doing in that ministry. So we open that door up to you guys too. So love you guys. Next week's Mother's Day. We got plenty of tissues in the room. I'm already crying, putting it together. Come, it's going to be exciting. We'll have a photo booth, we'll have some snacks. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.